Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter at Class Tech Tips, or go straight to classtechtips.com/bookbonus to request your bonus items. This episode is sponsored by Tech, and I'm so excited to partner with them for a webinar series this fall. It's totally free, and you can join one or all four of these webinars covering EdTech topics like creation in the classroom, assessment tips, and more. Register for the event or sign up to view the replays on their website. Just go to otispd.com. Click on upcoming events and you'll find four free webinars you can join. That's otispd.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram and I'll make sure to get you the link. Today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is titled Useful Tips for Finding Podcasts to Enhance Content with Jeff Glade. Jeff is a fellow Adobe Creative Educator, and I facilitated a virtual session for his educators a few summers ago. He is always sharing useful content on social media, and I love when I see his curated lists of student-friendly podcasts. So I reached out to Jeff this summer to see if he would join in today to explore this idea of using podcasts in the classroom. He shares such useful gems in this episode, including a bunch of high-quality, student-friendly podcasts, as well as activities you can explore right away. Let's dive in. Welcome, Jeff, to the podcast today. I am so excited to have you on to talk about all things podcasts and how to enhance your content and finding podcasts to help make that happen. And I'd love to start off by talking a little bit about your role in education and sharing, you know, what does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be here. So I am an instructional technology consultant for Heartland Area Education Agency in Central Iowa, and we are a state-funded agency, and I support lots of different districts throughout Central Iowa. My job is to provide professional development. I will co-teach with teachers, model teach if they'd like me to do so. I like to think of myself as a general thought partner, so not necessarily always technology-related, but if they're wanting to try something new, I'm glad to be there alongside them, kind of do some of the legwork to prep them for success. Previous to this position, I've taught third grade, fifth grade. I was a sixth grade social studies teacher and then also a K-5 digital learning teacher.
Wonderful. Well, all of that perspective and your role now, you know, especially right, thinking about the ways that podcasts can be used in different places. I'm just so excited to unpack this. As I shared in the intro or the opening, you know, we follow each other on social media and I'm always so excited when I see your monthly lists and collections and recommendations. And as we, you know, get ready to talk about students and podcasts today, I'd love to learn about your own podcast journey. When did you start listening to podcasts? What does your podcast consumption look like during a typical week?
Yeah, absolutely. So this, it's funny that you asked this question, because this is something I always start presentations with, because I think it's interesting to kind of understand someone's journey, as you put it, into the podcast world, because it's so big, it's so vast, and everybody kind of takes a different circuitous route into it. And so I started with Serial in about 2014, which kind of in my mind, maybe like sort of started the mini podcast boom about, what would that be, about 7 years ago. And so Serial is kind of a true crime investigative podcast. And I just really loved the storytelling. So Sarah Koenig is the host, and she has this sense of telling a story in a way that I just found so captivating. And I was teaching fifth grade at the time, actually, and I would find myself kind of mimicking her cadence as I would come into my classroom and I would read aloud to the kids. And something about what she did just brought me in. And so I felt like I was becoming a better storyteller, a better teacher, just through listening to her. And so that was kind of my first. And then I went to TED Radio Hour, which takes some TED Talks and condenses them into podcast form. There's This American Life, which is from NPR and has been around for years, even before podcast form. And so sort of slice of life stories. And then the last one I like to sort of address when I'm talking to groups is Limetown. So Limetown is a fiction podcast. It's an audio drama, and it's kind of told as if it's mimicking a Sarah Koenig type character. And it's serious. There's a little bit of scariness to it, but it kind of opened my eyes to this other world, other side of podcast, which is telling stories and the immersive sound design that can come from that. And so that's kind of the route I took. And then as far as now, I listen to podcasts all the time. People in my life are used to me saying, well, I heard on a podcast. They're kind of sick of that phrase, but I do. I learned so much from podcasts. And whenever I'm in my car, I'm always listening to a podcast, always without fail. And I drive to different schools for my job. So luckily I get a lot of that time. And then I also like to address, there's a report that comes out yearly. It's called The Infinite Dial. And this, as you and I are talking, that came out about 3 or 4 months ago. In 2021, 80 million Americans listen to podcasts on a weekly basis. These numbers are huge. And I'm obviously one of them, but when we look at those, then they also say that of those 80 million, they average 8 a week. 46 million people listen to more than 4 a week. This is a mainstream media. This is something that I think we should be addressing, and it's something that our kids are going to be exposed to if they're not already exposed to. So that's definitely something I value and I see as an opportunity for us to expose kids to this world. And then the last thing I'll say about my listening habits is I have a 5-year-old son. And if he had his way, we would listen to a podcast every night at dinner, every single night. Circle Rounds, Story Pirates are some of our favorites. Mm-hmm. And we are always listening to those. And during playtime, he will listen to them over and over again. And so that's definitely another way that we are consuming podcasts in my household.
Gosh, I love all of that. And I love just hearing that kind of origin story, right? Of getting started with podcasts and some favorites. And I'll make sure to link out to the ones that you mentioned. I know, you know, I taught in New York City public schools and took the subway to work for almost 7 years, right? Mm-hmm. Well, some of that was walking towards the end. I moved a little bit closer to my school. And, you know, when I was first hearing about podcasts, that was kind of part of my rotation, but this was a while back and I just wasn't finding mm-hmm. something that hooked me until about 5 or so years ago. I was moving into a new place where I'm sitting here, right? Mm-hmm. talking to you, and I didn't have Wi-Fi yet, right? Like the person was coming in a couple days and I'm unpacking, and I just kind of jumped back into the podcast app on my phone and started digging around, right? And I think it's really been for me, you know, this deep dive, like no looking back after that piece. And so I appreciate your recommendations for narrative podcasts too, because I think there's so many different ways people can consume this type of media, and just getting that perspective from your own personal experience, you know, can really help just the light bulb go off when you're looking to do what we're talking about today, which is really enhancing the content that you're teaching to your students and finding great podcasts to do that. So, you know, before talking about where to go to find podcasts for students to enhance content, can you share a bit about how you use podcasts with students or things you've seen in classrooms?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually have developed a little system that I like to use with teachers and kids when I am introducing fiction podcasts. And so I have developed a system, I call them AMPs. So it's amplifying our comprehension. And it is based on signposts from Notice and Note, which written by Beers and Probst. And so if you're unfamiliar, we're basically looking, it's kind of like a scavenger hunt. So we're looking for these things that exist in stories that will help us to understand that story a little bit better, or maybe connect a little more deeply. And so we use these AMPs, and there are different moments that we look for. And so if we're looking, if something in the story, we're talking again, fiction, if something in the story didn't feel quite right, we call that a record scratch. And so we talk to the kids, first off, what a record is and what that sounds like and why that's uncomfortable for us as a listener. And that's a moment that, you know, something's wrong here. Something isn't quite right. And our ears should be perked up. We should be listening extra intently right now as we are working to understand the story. And so I have a whole system that I use with that. And then embedded within that system, I also address soundscapes with students. And so there's a lot of different terms we could use for that: sound design, soundscape. And I really simplify soundscape into three main categories. So we look at dialogue, which is of course character speaking. We look at sound effects, so any other sound that we're hearing. And then there's music. And all of those elements, those three elements brought together, really give us an understanding of the story. So we definitely look at those soundscapes and use that as a kind of another level of comprehension for us to consider. Though that music oftentimes will give us an extra clue into the story. So if we are considering an important moment in a story, I always reference when I'm working with teachers, Full House. So in the show Full House, which most of the listeners are probably familiar with, at the end of every story, that really cheesy music came in, and it was Danny Tanner usually telling, you know, Stephanie, admitting to what she did wrong. She drove the car into the kitchen or whatever it was. And that was the theme of the story. So we can use those music moments, those soundscape, and I call them the music clues to give us a clue into the story to better comprehend that story. So that's in a broad sense, kind of the way we look at fiction podcasts, but there's a lot else that I do with kids and that I've seen other teachers do. So we have emoji retells. We retell the story using emojis. And I like to limit them to six. When I was in the classroom, we did six word stories and six word summaries. Mm-hmm. And so we do emojis, and there's the creative constraint within that. But then, and that can be done with any sort of text. Another thing I love to do is a visual reference guide, which is when kids are listening to a podcast, and I'm just like this, if I hear something interesting, I want to see what it looks like. And so we work with kids to create a shared Google Doc. And so the teacher gives them 20 episodes that we could look at during this unit, and the kids can create a visual reference guide. So as you're listening, here's a picture of the spider we're talking about, or here's a picture of the historical figure. And then when our classmates are going to listen to that episode, they have something to kind of keep their eye on to look at as we're listening through that episode. A couple other things I love to do with, we sketch note while we listen. So we're keeping our hands busy. We're keeping our eyes busy as we're listening. And we can use AutoDraw to do that is another one of my favorite tools. And then kind of a final thing I'll say is I always also encourage teachers to not feel overwhelmed. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. A lot of what they do with any text will work with a podcast, right? So we don't have to introduce this brand new shiny thing. We're already introducing a brand new shiny thing, maybe with a podcast. So we can use that graphic organizer or that story mountain that our kids are comfortable with, something that they can really get benefit out of as they're listening to the story.
Yeah. All the things you talked about there, Jeff, I think are so powerful for leaning in or embracing the best practices, right? You already have in place that awesome graphic organizer for retelling a story. I love the activities that you mentioned with an emoji retell. And it's funny when you gave that Full House example, like we can think back to those sitcoms, like that's the cue, right? Mm-hmm. And as you said that kind of like turned to Stephanie, I was like, ooh, the car going into the kitchen was the first thing I thought of too. Such like a permanent visual of growing up, like, don't do that. Don't touch that, right? Because you hear the music and it kind of all comes together. So funny there, you know, and with all of those pieces, it seems like the intention is really clearly part of the focus. So, you know, if someone is listening in today and interested in using podcasts to enhance content, what is that first step? What should they think about before even opening up a podcast app?
Yeah, I think you said it. It's an intention. What's our instructional purpose? You know, so this is a cool new medium. This is something that we could be excited to introduce to our kids, but what are we doing with it? Why are we bringing it into the classroom? And so I mean, that's where I would always start, of course. And with that said, if it's strictly knowledge building, that's great. So Natalie Wexler and Daniel Willingham are some of my favorite researchers as it relates to reading and the importance of knowledge in reading comprehension. And they would tell you that knowledge and background knowledge and sophisticated vocabulary is one of the most important things mm-hmm. for reading comprehension. We still have to teach decoding, of course. And I always tell that when I'm working with teachers, you still need decode to work with kids on decoding. This isn't going to do that for you. But if we are building that broad base of knowledge for kids, that is still useful. That's still valuable stuff. But you need to have a plan with that, right? So you're not just going to, hopefully you will not just give the podcast to your kids and say, go listen, plug in, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to check in, I'm going to check out. You know, so hopefully we're not doing that. You're still scaffolding the exercise for kids. You are giving them those strategies for listening, explicit strategies. And one thing I definitely would say is find the first time you're introducing a podcast to your kids, find a really, really great one. Start with something that's great. So, you know, I have a couple go-to podcasts that I would recommend. So Mars Patel, if you're in teaching anywhere 4th to 7th or 8th grade, and actually it's The Unexplainable Disappearance of Mars Patel. It's kind of a mouthful. Fantastic mm-hmm. fiction podcast. Wow and the World is great for nonfiction content. Start with something that's really going to engage the kids and set up those learning targets for the kids so they are set up for success. And then the kind of the final thing I would say here is, do a group listen at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So don't just have them plug in and go into their own bubble. Eventually you can do that once you've built those listening skills, but listen as a whole group, model your listening strategies, pause it, rewind when needed, think aloud, do all those things you would do with a story. Good teaching is good teaching. And you know, that mm-hmm. applies to podcasts too, I would say. And know that maybe this isn't for you, right? So a lot of the teachers listening to this are adults who have read and maybe not learned from podcasts before. It's hard for us to shift. Kids are going to be a lot more open to it. If it feels uncomfortable for you, that's okay. You know, we are giving different modes of representation for our kids and they can get information and they're likely more open to it than you might be.
Yeah. And just, you know, what you all, you know, you said there about just intentionality, the kind of call to action, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. What is it you're going to do with this? And just modeling for students, right? Sometimes, you know, we take for granted that they've, you know, watched a YouTube video or they know how to press play or rewind, right? Yes. Like we would instinctively, I know I do it, you probably do it too, where like I get distracted and I hit that rewind 15 or rewind 30 on a podcast, right? I'm like, wait, what was that? Brene Brown was saying something really important. I should remember, you know, as I go back. And so those kind of model, that kind of think aloud and modeling behaviors. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I think it's really key here. And, you know, I said YouTube, right? We're used to grabbing a link and sharing a YouTube video, perhaps with a group of students. But before sharing a link to a podcast episode with students, are there things that teachers should look out for that they should consider?
I would say definitely consider the length, right? So we don't want something that's overwhelmingly long, especially if they've never listened to a podcast. You know, start small and build that stamina because it's just like reading stamina or listening stamina is a thing. And so consider that, work at finding, you know, a credible source or a host, depending on the kind of podcast you're looking for. The barrier to entry to create a podcast is so low that almost anyone can do it. Okay. And that does not mean that they're all good at it or that we should trust all of those sources, right? So just like with any sort of media or information, I would say consider that. Again, just before you were giving that to the kids, have you scaffolded some listening strategies and have you considered those pieces? And then preview the episode so that especially at the beginning as you're getting used to it. So preview the episode to make sure it ties to your standards and your instructional goals, but also what's appropriate for your age level. And something that a lot of people aren't aware of, and I would mention, is don't forget that you can increase playback speed, right? So if you are listening to a 15-minute episode, you can double that up to 2, you know, whatever your threshold is to not feel crazy listening to someone speaking too quickly, you can get through a lot of content quickly and do that to make sure those first few times until you know that this is a credible podcast. I trust these people. This is, you know, Wow in the World or Brains On or whatever it might be. I know that this is good for my kids. And once you've developed, you know, sort of your go-to sources, you don't necessarily have to do that for every moment that they will listen to. So those would be some of the things. And then also maybe keep an eye on, is there a transcript available? And if so, offer that for your kids as well. Unfortunately, they don't all have transcripts, but more and more, a lot have them. And then there's also some tools you can utilize to create a transcript if you need to.
Yeah. And that's such a great point and just wonderful recommendations, you know, across the board there. I know, you know, I do transcripts for all of my episodes with rev.com, whether it's a conversation like ours or, you know, one that it's just me and a lot like Wow in the World you mentioned. I know that has a transcript. Circle Round, I always recommend to people. It's almost like a reader's theater, right? Like finding reader's theater is like one of the hardest things to do as an elementary school teacher to find good stuff. And that's one I love. So such great things to consider. And, you know, as we're talking today about enhancing content with podcasts, would love to hear a little bit more about what this looks like in action. You shared really great strategies as we jumped into the episode today. Do you have anything that might fall into some different subject areas, maybe something unexpected or something someone could try out?
Yeah. So I always reference knowledge. And I already spoke to that a little bit, but I'm going to say it one more time that, you know, cognitive science shows us that when kids have knowledge and sophisticated vocabulary, they're able to understand things much more easily. We also know that kids from better educated homes oftentimes will be exposed to that knowledge and sophisticated vocabulary at greater rates than kids who maybe aren't. So I do see this as an equity issue as well, or a way to address equity, I would say. So consider that as well. So a lot of times if you're giving, providing access to a quality podcast, you're not going to go wrong, meaning they're getting good content, they're getting vocabulary. With that said, this could be used, you know, in lots of different ways as part of an anticipatory set, just building the background knowledge before we start a unit, engagement. I've done a lot of work with literacy teachers and literature teachers on using this as text pairings. So if we're reading, and that could be a thematic. So I made a couple notes. So there's, I've done one with The Crucible. So a high school class was teaching The Crucible. And the theme that this teacher was looking at was how can fear, unfounded accusations, and groupthink lead to mass hysteria? And so, I mean, that feels really applicable now as well. But we found podcasts about the satanic panic of the 80s. And so we could connect it to different moments. And then historical context, just with like The Great Gatsby or something that's a historical fiction. And then one teacher I worked with developed this beautiful curated list for To Kill a Mockingbird. She had before, these are the episodes we're going to listen to before that build up some background knowledge on the Great Depression. Here's during, we're going to listen to a couple episodes that represent, or I'm sorry, that reference lynching or some of those unfortunate things from our past. And then as we're wrapping up reading, here's some other podcasts that look at racial injustice as we might see it today. So there's that whole range within literacy, but then also on the kind of the other side of literacy, writing, we can use these as exemplars. So I do a really fun activity with Mars Patel that we'll re-listen to about a minute and a half, and there's no, or there's a couple words, but we only focus on music and sound effects. We make our list. We listen again. We do a close listen. We come back and make a full, deep list. And then we use that to write a narrative of that scene. So we're bringing in sensory details that we might have missed. Nice. So we can do that. Then there's viewpoints from lots of underrepresented populations. We talked about the barrier to entry being low, which means we can hear from populations that general media doesn't always necessarily let us hear from. So we can see those different perspectives. We have science. We can look at climate change and develop different viewpoints on different reasons and possible causes. And there's passion projects, right? So we can really dive into something, or PBL, and look at businesses. Lots of business podcasts talk about marketing plans. A lot of that. I worked with a health teacher and we worked on mindfulness podcasts and anxiety, and coaches. So I'm talking sports coaches here can use that. There's a lot of really great interviews with athletes. We can really bring this in. As I've said before, there are so many episodes, so many podcasts here. And if we're just allowing our kids to experience this world, I think we're giving them such a gift.
Such great things to consider there, Jeff. You know, as you were talking about some of these cross-curricular connections, I know I've gotten back into the Guy Raz podcast, How Did This Get Made, right? Or just, you know, all these interviews with founders and people who've been on these journeys. I love interview podcasts for my own consumption, right? And I think it can give kids such a great perspective of what's possible, right? There's that whole, we don't know what we don't know aspect to all the things in our life. So this is just so useful to provide some ideas on how to enhance content for students with different podcasts. And before we officially wrap up here, I'd love for you to just share a little bit about, you know, you kicked off and let us know a bit about your work and your day to day, but is there anything else you'd like to add about your work or where listeners can go to connect with you and learn a little bit more?
Sure. So I, as you referenced at the top, thank you. I do monthly or sometimes two a month curated lists. And I kind of see those as just opportunities for teachers who feel like they don't know where to go, don't know where to start. So that list might be related to something that happens in the month. So it could be a holiday, or it could be a month related to a group of people. So I just, as we're recording this, Pride Month just ended, and I had a whole list of different representations for the LGBTQ plus population. So that's one thing to look out for. And you can find those. I always tweet them on my Twitter at Glade Jeff. I'm also on Instagram. It's at JeffGladeEDU. And then some of my other resources are housed at a website, and you can get there from bit.ly/JeffGladeTech. And on there, you can also find out I offer workshops, so we can look at a half day with your staff. We can look at full day workshops. I teach a graduate credit course on podcasts and implementing them into your curriculum. That information is found on that website as well. And the last thing I would just sort of say is feel free to reach out. I mean, I hope it came through how passionate I am about this as an option for kids, as an option for teachers. And you can always email me, jeffgladetech@gmail.com. I would love to connect with you and support you. And like I said, I love to be a thought partner, just think through things and how we can do this and make this work for what teachers are doing and for what kids are needing.
This is wonderful, Jeff. And I will make sure to link out. So anyone who's listening in today, you should be able to click right in the description to connect with Jeff and follow along. Thank you so much for your time and your insight and all of these great ideas today.
Thank you so much, Monica. It was such a pleasure to be here.
It was so much fun chatting with Jeff on today's episode. I don't know about you, but I have a few new podcasts to explore and some great ideas to share with the educators I work with. And I want to make sure we finish up today's episode, just like we always do, with some tips for making EdTech easy. First, reflect on your own podcast consumption. Next, have an intention for sharing podcast episodes. Then, decide how to introduce this media to students. Finally, think aloud and model for students too. Remember, you can find the show notes for today's episode number 128 with all of the resources and tools I mentioned, including the best way to connect with Jeff, by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast. You'll see a list of all the podcast episodes, and you'll want to make sure you find today's number 128. On the show notes page, which I've also linked in the description of today's episode, you'll also find links to Jeff's work, and you can make sure to follow along with all the wonderful things he's doing and sharing on social media. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Tech. I'm so excited to partner with them for a webinar series this fall. It's totally free, and you can join one or all four of these webinars covering EdTech topics like creation in the classroom, assessment tips, and more. Register for the event or sign up to view the replays on their website. Just go to otispd.com, click on upcoming events, and you'll find four free webinars you can join. That's otispd.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram, and I'll make sure to get you the link. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech or teaching in their podcast app. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. At Class Tech Tips is where you'll find me, or go straight to classtechtips.com/book-bonus to request your bonus items. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.